Next case on our calendar, 07507, Mark Albrecht et al. Versus Brian Treon. Mr. Mason.
Mr. Landis.
Mr. Landis, I'm sorry. Got your color wrong here. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. The plaintiffs here do not have a protected right in forensic specimens taken from a proper autopsy for three main reasons. One is they can take no source of the right. They can identify no source of a right in Ohio law. Second is that they cannot categorize the right appropriately as either liberty interest or property interest. This it has to do with the due process matter, so that's life, liberty, or property. You have to pick one, and they can't. And the third reason is you cannot sensibly administer such a right if it were to be created. They have described it, and the court below once has described it, as the right to as near a complete a body as possible. It's helpful to know how we got here. In 1991, there was a Sixth Circuit opinion called Brotherton, and it was could be a sensible case. In that case, the Hamilton County coroner had been taking corneas routinely from those who came into his office. The statute allows that unless there is an objection from next of kin. This case got to the Sixth Circuit on whether or not that violated due process, and the Sixth Circuit had to look at Ohio law to determine whether or not there was a protected right under state law in Ohio that would justify the use of the due process clause for a civil rights claim. They looked and they found really no law that would grant such a right. But it was 1991, it was before certification of questions, they took their best stab at it. And they said, yes, there's a right. Capable plaintiff's lawyers did well that day. Capable plaintiff's lawyers came back to Hamilton County, sued again, and this time said, let's extend this rule, not just from corneas based upon the statute dealing with anatomical gifts. Let's extend this to all forensic specimens that are taken and retained as part of a normal autopsy that's justified and allowed by statute. The district court felt bound by Brotherton and in fact extended that holding to all forensic specimens. There was a very good payday for capable plaintiff's lawyers, and they have now sued all 87 other counties.
Counsel, instead of getting in the pejoratives about who's making money off of this or what their motivations are, could you explain to us the fundamental practicalities of of an autopsy? When you say, well, unless there's an objection, is the family aware that they have to object? Or do coroners just automatically and arbitrarily harvest certain body parts and not return them to the body? What goes on? What's the need for the harvesting and the retention? First of all, could you explain that to us?
Thanks, Your Honor. Yes, the consent case or the objection case had to do with the Anatomical Gift Act and was specifically in there for corneas, a particular statute that was involved in Brotherton, which is not involved here. So I'll tell you what the protocols are for an autopsy and from whence they come. The anytime under Ohio law, the coroner has complete authority to conduct an autopsy or not. There are many states that require consent. There are some states like Michigan that require notice first. Ohio has none of those things. Since 1921, there's been a statute allowing coroners to do this.
Yeah, and you could talk to coroners, and they could tell you they're the most important and law enforcement person in the county. I've talked to them. I've heard that speech. The question I have is when, and presumably, most coroners don't just arbitrarily do autopsies on anybody that dies. They do them for a reason. When they do them, what's the reason for harvesting and then retaining body parts?
Thank you. The very definition of an autopsy requires the taking of a specimen would not call it harvesting because they're not passing it on somewhere else for someone else to use. It's not an anatomical gift. They keep it as evidence of what they found. It's a forensic specimen.
Okay, but I guess I'm a layman here. I guess I envision taking small slices for analysis and then restoring, whether it's the heart, the brain, the liver, whatever, restoring that to the body and handing that on to the undertaker. What's wrong with what, as a layman, we might understand or expect? I think what I've just articulated is what most people would expect would happen.
And I believe that's accurate. You can find more detail in autopsies in the briefing, both in the national standards for the National Associations of Medical Examiners, and also it's in the Ohio Administrative Code, what at a minimum must occur in an autopsy.
Well, I'm not interested in reading all that right now. I'm just interested in a short answer to a simple question.
They cut open the body, and they take at least a sample of every organ. They take fluids from the eye and from other reservoirs. They preserve all that. They're required by Ohio Administrative Code to keep it at least 6 months. They keep it because some other information may come forward about the cause of death, and they want to be able to reproduce and allow others to examine their work. There is one complication. The brain is difficult to take a slice from. It is gelatinous. The only way, the most appropriate way certainly, and perhaps the only way to do a decent examination on a brain is to make it solid. It takes about 2 weeks in a solution to make a brain solid so that you can slice that specimen from it. The case that we have as the representative plaintiff, the brain was examined 19 days after the actual autopsy. So there was a 19-day span of time when everything else was put back and delivered, as has been done for 212 years of having coroners in Ohio. But the brain could not yet be examined properly because it was not yet fixed so that a slice could be taken and it could be scientifically examined.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a follow-up question to that. The argument seems to be that you just make, at least by implication, is, which I didn't think was really revealed very clearly in the briefs, was what is the process and how long does material need to be kept? Administrative rule, 6 months. A brain, because of its biological composure, has to be retained in a different state. But for the legal issue here, that seems like all bootstrap to me arguments. Why shouldn't it not be, if the family next of kin have a protected interest, why shouldn't it be their choice to wait to inter the body for the examination to be done? I understand this, there's an allegation, at least in the briefs, that in this case, all of the autopsy work is complete. It's been completed, and so they're saying, we just want to have the brain back and bury it with our son. why should the length of time it takes the coroner to his proper investigation analysis affect anyone's right to have at least the body organs? We've got a vial of blood is something different, which makes this case very difficult, I think,
yes,
in the facts. But what's your answer to that?
Why should the? I could take your question two ways.
Well,
I want to make sure I have
my question is: should we, in determining whether there's a right in somebody next of kin or family to body parts, why should we be considering the length of time it takes the coroner to do the coroner's appropriate, proper statutory analysis of the body parts?
I completely agree. I think that perhaps the length of time illustrates the difficulty of administering such a right, how difficult it would be to administer such a now created right of as nearly a complete as body as possible. The big difference between the cornea case and this one is it's an exercise of police power. We want to know what happened, and in order to know what happened, the autopsy has to occur, And an autopsy necessarily, by definition, means that you remove some of the body.
But nobody, as I understand it from the other side, that's not their argument. There are, they've in their briefs, they've said it over and over, is that we don't want to interfere with the autopsy. You do the autopsy. What we want is when the autopsy is complete, I want to make sure we've got the issue here, because you're arguing two different issues in the briefs. One is, let us do the autopsy, and they're saying, do the autopsy. What we're arguing about is we want the remains after the autopsy is completed. And my question is, why should it matter to the coroners how long it takes them to give the body parts to the next of kin? That's up to the next of kin want to bury, you say you're not going to get the brain for 2 months. It's up to the next of kin, it seems to me, to decide, again, if we adopt the protected interest. It's up to them to decide whether to bury the body or do something with the body without the brain.
Here's where I think the arguments overlap. They want to take statutes that say that they can direct the disposition of the body, and longstanding practice for that, and include in the body all the parts that ever come from an autopsy. It's impossible to make a rule that says you get part of a brain, or you get a third of a brain, or you get all, and you don't also have a right to all of the fluids that come from it. If there's a right in the body of a person, and they'd have to say it's a property right, which has never been held, if there is such a right, it does not include forensic specimens that are removed from the body necessarily by an autopsy. If the General Assembly gives the coroner the right to do an autopsy, it necessarily gives them the right to take a part of the body away, and from time immemorial, the remainder, which is almost all of it, goes back to the family. So when the family has a right to direct the body, it does not include forensic specimens. Those belong, have never belonged to the plaintiffs.
Would your client have an objection to a rule that notice be given to the family at the time that the body is released, that the following body parts have been removed or are being retained? Would that be something that your client would agree with?
We would not, and here's why. And it sounds like a reasonable thing at first blush. There's a couple of big problems with it. One, it presumes that there's a property right that would require a notice. And if the state holds that, it's
up
to the federal
court.
When
you're talking about a property right, your claim is that the family cannot establish a property right. Are you claiming that the coroner has a property right?
No. No.
So no one has a right to this body. That was what you're saying.
Exactly. There's no property right in a body. That's been true since the 1500s.
So
in order for them to, they would have to overturn that much law to get there.
A coroner could remove a body part without notifying any family members and do with it and dispose of it as he or she would desire, is your view?
Actually, it's highly regulated already and has never been a problem. And we should notice that after the Cincinnati case that allowed this kind of claim, the General Assembly moved very quickly.
What would be wrong?
Resoundingly to say that it is medical waste and it is to be treated as medical waste.
What would
just
be
as
wrong?
Anything else taken off in surgery.
What would be wrong with a rule saying that when the coroner finishes the work with the brain, for example, it notifies the family that the family may retrieve it?
There are three things wrong. One is it presupposes that there is a protected right that can be used to go to federal court and let the federal court determine what the remedies are. This is your last chance to speak on this topic. Once you say there's a right, whether it's to notice or anything else, the federal court gets to determine what happens to that. We know what they've done in the past. The second thing wrong with it is what we found is, and this is in the amicus briefing, we don't do as good a job. There's a reluctance, if we're going to have to do that, just not to take that sample. And what you've heard from the coroner's briefs is brains are being examined than have been in the past because of this concern of requiring additional process. We just don't look as hard as we used to. And the third reason, if I may, I'll take your question.
No, I don't have a question. I have a comment. That just seems like a totally lame excuse. We won't do our job if we have to give notice after we're done.
I'm describing what the practice has been.
They can change their practice.
We're not going to get as good at answers in the real world because you have to take pieces of the body off to appropriately look at it. And the other thing, Your Honor, if I may, is that it's very important to know that since 1991, there's always been in the code something that says every forensic specimen is to be treated as medical waste. It's never been considered part of the body. It's never by usage, and even in the code itself.
Is the term forensic specimen defined in the code?
It is. It's in the administrative code and has been since 1991. What the legislature did after the very difficult decision in the district court was they put that in the code itself. So
that definition would include an entire brain?
It would. All specimens taken from an autopsy.
And Mr. Landis, if there were to be a protected interest, which you're arguing there is not, protected interest, wouldn't that be a matter for the General Assembly to decide? I mean, this is a very serious policy decision, and certainly from the briefs that we have, this affects a lot of different interests here. But we're talking about whether right now, under the current status of Ohio law, there is a protected interest that would entitle the plaintiffs here to claim the right to the forensic specimens. This isn't a matter of anatomical gifts, as you point out, nor is it a question of mishandling, is there? There's no question of mishandling the specimens or the body parts, nor is it autopsy by consent that we're talking about here.
That's all correct, Your Honor, and there's two ways to look at that. One is that the General Assembly has spoken on this. In August of 2006, they resoundingly rejected what the district court in Cincinnati had done and said without any question that there is not a protected right in a forensic specimen. And really, for the first time, took this vacuum of case law and described what the public policy of Ohio was on this. If plaintiffs have a problem, they should take it to the General Assembly.
They did provide for an exception as well, a religious exception on the part of the decedent. Is that correct?
That is correct. And they did that, and that really for the first time established that exception for religion. The General Assembly weighed that and made that choice. As to misuse of the body, we have longstanding tort and criminal sanctions against such things that have worked well for 212 years. Since 1991, we've had this other rule out there, and we know what that's done to.
Doesn't the exception go to the autopsy? Does it not?
The exception
goes to whether there'll be an autopsy, whether
and also
religious
to the
belief prevents or should prevent the mutilation of the body.
Yes, Your Honor, but
again, that's not. I don't think that's the issue here. I'm just trying to figure out what the issue is.
No, I here's the difficulty with the two things together for you, Your Honor, I believe, and that is that the plaintiffs would have you believe that you can do an autopsy and return all of the body. That is a definitional impossibility. An autopsy necessarily requires you to take part of the body away.
I don't think they're arguing that blood spilled or pieces of tissue, little pieces of tissue. I don't think that's their argument. I think what makes this case difficult is if we decide there's a protected interest, if we do, what is it? Is it just organs like the heart and the brain, what we think of as some of the primary functioning parts of the body, or is it fingers and toes and other things? But let me ask you, how should we apply Section 313.14, which gives, as you know, gives to the next of kin the order name shall have prior right, and the order name next of kin
right,
shall have prior right as to the disposition of the body of such deceased person. It seems to be in conflict with the other statute to which you refer that says the coroner can treat all this material as waste, but there does seem to be some expression of public policy that it's the next of kin who really determine how the body is disposed of, isn't it?
2 points. One is, 14 tells the coroner who to go talk to about who to come get the body. It gives a hierarchy of notice for the body is finished, come get it. And the plaintiffs have made much of the fact in the statute that it says the coroner can keep the body as long as he feels it's necessary, and then he should give notice to the next of kin in this order. That is not to say that they get the forensic specimens back too, because body in that section has to be read in paramateria with other law. And that includes the longstanding customs for anything retained after the autopsy to be retained as criminal evidence potentially, or evidence of the work of the coroner. It has to be read in paramateria with the 1991 Ohio Administrative Code. It now has to be read in paramateria with Section 0.123, which was passed in August 06 for the first time, really filling the vacuum. And it also has to be read in paramateria with the ability of the coroner to prove later what he's done under general police power. And, Your Honor, they have tried to make it a difficult case by saying we're just talking about whole organs. How in the world do you make that ruling? How in the world would you make a rule that says a certain part of it, there's a requirement for notice, some of it's property, but some of it's not? It necessarily, things come from the body in an autopsy. If you follow their rule and make any part of it property, from there it goes to the federal courts, and they determine the remedy and what mischief comes from it.
Thank you, Mr. Landis. Mr. Metz.
May it please the court and Chief Justice, could we please divide our time, Mr. Perotti and I, to maybe 7.5?
You'll need to watch your time. Usually the second lawyer doesn't get much time remaining, so you'll need to
thank you very much,
withstand our questions. And
I would first like to address some of the points that Justice Moyer made. Excuse me. The length of time does not alter the right. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that it would. And Justice Moyer's question about to reinter the body, I learned in doing these cases that the funeral directors actually have a special place on their billing list for reinterment, which also just recently National Public Radio did a piece, I think we might have mentioned in our brief, on body parts from Iraq. There's over 19,000 of our soldiers have died in Iraq and are in pieces. And the US government is spending a lot of time and money bringing back piece by piece. So our argument that the body is the sum of the parts is not just our argument. I think that is something.
Oh, the body count just went up by about, you said 19,000?
That have been exploded into parts. It's over 3,000 that we've lost, I believe. Okay. But there's 19,000 of those have been dismembered. Is this study okay. That I heard.
Let me start you off with a question. Another question is it seems to me that if we assume there is a protected interest, in what is there a protected interest?
In the body, which is what the Ohio Revised Code talks about, the body and remains. That's the language that the legislature chose in the statute that defines the coroner's duties. So our position is the body in as much intact as it can. And obviously, as Chief Justice pointed out, we're not arguing. What they do is they take a piece of the liver and they slice in a micro nanometer that you can actually see through and put on a slide. We're not here talking about that, so I don't even want to waste any time on that.
But for our, if we decide there is a protected interest, we have to write a test that we struggle to write, bright line test. It seems to me in this case it's impossible to write a bright line test if there's a protected interest.
Well, I think we use the terminology of the defendants themselves. They can distinguish what a brain, what a liver, what a kidney is. And what's interesting is if you take the statute, the new statute, about everything that's taken out becomes medical waste. The usual custom and practice is after they take the kidney out and weigh it, after they take the lung out and weigh it, they put it all in a plastic bag and shove it back in the body cavity and sew it back up. Well, if you take them at their word, then all these coroners are violating the statute by not destroying that waste, medical waste. But I would like to address a point that Justice O'Donnell noted. That's exactly in the Haney case where we ended up. All we're asking is the coroners to give notice and let the families decide if they want to reinter it or not.
Why shouldn't that be a matter to be taken up with the General Assembly? To specifically, if the General Assembly wishes to create a right, why not do it there instead of saying that the current state of the law, which really doesn't say, I don't think, what you're saying, why should you come to us and say we should expand the nature of protection? We're not talking about protection of the right to bury the body, but the question is these forensic specimens.
And I think, Justice, that you pointed out a point before, the certified question here really is twofold. Is there a right now, mm-hmm. or was there a right during the time that our complaint covers? And I think the court has to distinguish that in order to give a reasonable answer to the district court's question. But I think the General Assembly has already documented, they've spoken. As the Chief Justice pointed out, 31314 talks about that the next of kin shall have prior right. Now, when this new statute was passed, they did not repeal 31314.
Counsel, that's prior right for the internment of the body.
To the disposition of the body.
All right, whether it's cremated or interned, right. or whatever. But isn't that more for the benefit of the probate process when there are family members that are disagreeing with how the body should be disposed of? Doesn't that statute address that as opposed to what you're trying to use it for? I mean, admittedly, it says who receives the remains and makes the decision if the decedent has not put that in writing to do this.
Well, when you look at what statute it's talking about the coroner's statute that defines his jurisdiction. He is a stranger to that dead body unless he exercises the jurisdiction that the Ohio legislature right. has given the parameters of. And in that, I think, indicates that the General Assembly recognized that there is a prior right in the family, but at the same time, that can be subrogated for a time to allow him to do the job.
Well, you're not stating that the coroner, therefore the county, would want to take the responsibility for the interment of these bodies or the disposition of these bodies. It is presupposed that eventually the remains will be released to the family. And point 14 says what's the priority there for making this determination for the disposal of the remains.
Right, but the practice is when they're done with the brain, it gets incinerated.
But that's according to the statute under 313.123B1.
Now, okay, we're talking about before the statute too is my point. I think this court needs to address.
But wasn't that the practice before the statute? The medical protocol was to do it this way, correct? The coroners have been doing it this way for quite a while.
The protocol has been, as I said, to put some of the body parts back, but if you have to retain one, particularly the brain or the heart are usually the two we're talking about, and you have to retain the brain from 10 to 14 days, after the 14 days after the conference, they pitch it. That's what they did. That's not what, there was no statute that said they had to do that. And they keep talking about.
That was the practice amongst the coroners in the
yes.
state of Ohio.
Yes,
universally.
It was. Yes.
Now, isn't that also the practice at medical facilities?
Probably, yes.
Okay, so, I mean, we've got more than just coroners to worry about as far as, or I don't know that we necessarily have to worry about this, but would be impacted by what we do here. There's the entire right. hospital community that performs surgery and et cetera that would be impacted by any ruling.
That's a good point. In surgery, I am hiring the doctor to take out my appendix. There's an implicit get rid of it. We're not talking about that. So that's a completely different issue. But
if we find that there's a protected right, then that changes that analysis. You can't just say, we're not talking about that because I hired the doctor. If you have a protected right in that property, that tissue, that changes the statute. That changes the whole analysis.
Well, if it's my protected right in my appendix, I can hire a doctor to remove my protected right. So I don't think that.
And then preserve it for interment.
If I hire him to take it out of me, I don't think.
Well,
I'm
I mean, wouldn't he have to have a specific direction? Otherwise, there's a presumption that that's your property.
I think technically it is, if you want it.
So there has to be some communication, some understanding between the doctor and the patient.
Well, if I think it.
According to your scenario and what you'd have us do here.
I can't imagine anybody saying, talk about waiver, that you hire the doctor to take it out because it's infected, that there would be a cause of action if the doctor destroyed it. I think that's taking, again, to this absurd level that they want you to get
into. That can all be worked out by contract, can it? Can it not? I mean, that's clearly something that the doctor and the patient can agree to by contract.
I know my time is very short here, and I just wanted to follow up that.
What is your constitutional, what constitutional provision do you rely on to find that you have protected right? What part of the Constitution?
Okay. And they said we have to choose one. That's not the law. The law is that whether there is a protected interest, and that can be liberty, property, or.
How does liberty or property give you a protected interest in somebody else's body?
I hope there's never a government that tells me that I don't have an interest in my dead daughter's body. That's my interest.
And where in the Constitution does it say that?
I think liberty. Do I have the liberty to protect my daughter's dead body? I hope this country isn't to that degree, because then I'm.
Has there ever been a case that found a property right in someone else's body?
This in the Burke and Harris, this whole property right. The resurrectionist in the 1800s are digging up people in Scotland. The court said, there's no property interest in that you can't sell Uncle Ernie's body. That's where all this comes, and that's where the courts are going, well, it's not a property right. So the label has nothing to do with it. This is basic human, fundamental abilities of being human that we're talking about. Well, that I'm amazed that I have to stand here before the highest court to say that this is integral to being a human.
Well, the very fact that the federal court has certified the question here means you need to answer that question.
No, I think when you look at what Judge DeLotte said, she's concerned as to whether this change has changed it. I think that the law is clear. And again, the jurisdiction of the coroner only goes until he makes his diagnosis. He then becomes a stranger to that body. Once that diagnosis, he has no further right. His only right to that body is under the statutes until the diagnosis is made. And I would like to reserve 3 minutes.
I have a question this question is raised. The certified question to us is not property right. It's you wanted property right as a certified question. They did want property right. But the judge said it's protected interest.
Exactly.
Do we need to rely on the Constitution to find a protected interest in a next of kin in a member of their family's body?
No. In fact, you can look at the common law, the cases Carney, Everson, and this court in Heiner, even in the decision, noted that this is a special area of law that the law recognizes. So this court has already, I think, earmarked that. Can I
thank you, Mr. Metz. Mr.
Thank
Prati.
You very much. It's been an honor. Very quickly, the Constitution has nothing to do with this issue. The Constitution is a federal question, which the federal court will determine after this court decides a state law question, which is that common law, statutes, and cases on whether Ohio recognizes a protected interest in the body. As far as Justice Moyer, the answer is very simple. We already have a statute. The new statute requires that whatever they remove, they return. It's not confusing. It's not ambiguous.
Well, that's,
you're
that's,
having
that's,
a problem
I mean,
with
point
how
14,
to write it.
I mean, Point 14 isn't quite that express, is it?
Oh, yes, it is. The section about religious objections is anything that's removed because of compelling public interest must be returned.
It says though, the interest, the religious objection is of the decedent. I wanted to ask about that, because it seems as though in your brief you're talking about religious objection of the next of kin.
We are talking about the interest of the next of kin, and the point that was being made here is that how do you write this opinion? You write it that
And again, we agree that there's parts that are going to be kept by the coroner that are going to be kept. They don't give them back. They keep them for forensic evidence. There's no right to those. And it's not that there wasn't a right in the beginning. This is really important for you to understand. The General Assembly, Justice Lansinger, the General Assembly has already spoken on this.
Right,
we don't need to go to the General Assembly to ask them to grant a right. They spoke years ago, and the Ohio courts spoke, and they said unambiguously that the next of kin shall have a right and a possessory interest to the disposition of the body. That's been common law since.
We're not talking about that right. We're talking about the interest, whether there's a protected interest in the tissues that are removed for forensic purposes.
No, we are talking about that right. And the reason why we're talking about that right is to the entire body. That right starts before death.
So even though the General Assembly has separated out the two terms in various portions of the statute, talking about tissues and organs being disposed of as medical waste because of after the autopsy under the specific section, and the other section which talks about the right to the body that the next of kin have. I mean, two different terms were used in the various statutes.
No, because what they talked about is the right to the body, and the right to the body includes everything, and the right proceeds forward. And at the time of death, the coroner doesn't have the right to go up and start cutting arms off the body.
Is there any definition of body that includes forensic specimen?
There's a definition of body in Title 37, which was the Health Safety Code, that indicates body includes all parts.
But there's a special definition, if I understand it correctly, of forensic specimens.
Forensic specimens is that this is the point I'm trying to make to you, Your Honor, to you, Judge, the whole panel is.
There's seven of us here. You got to get us all.
They coexist.
Pardon me?
The rights coexist. The rights to the family include everything inside that body.
The question is,
what happens to the forensic specimens?
The question is there a difference between the disposal of the body and the disposal of a forensic specimen?
No, because what happens is the coroner has the right to receive the body. The coroner then, you ask them, what happens in an autopsy? The coroner dissects the body, takes out a heart, a liver, a kidney, weighs it, investigates it, and as one of you said, puts it back. Why do they put it back? Because the next of kin's right to the entire body is there and it continues. Their right is jurisdictional. The government's right. That's only to perform an autopsy. So long as they are performing an autopsy, their right subordinates the right of the next of kin.
Then you
but
take
as long as they end it, go ahead.
You're taking out 313.123.123.B1. That section, according to you, then means nothing.
No, that section means that the General Assembly indicated that the rights which were granted in the next of kin by statute specifically as of 2006 end for forensic specimens which are removed and retained for forensic purposes. And the chief says,
then at that point, from 2006 forward, the people that are described in point 14 do not have the right to the organs that are retained. Would you agree with that?
I agree. We don't agree it's necessarily constitutional, but that's
all right,
absolutely what the General Assembly said.
You agree with that's
said.
What this, yes, the statute says.
Therefore, absolutely.
Therefore, this statute is a codification of the common law.
No.
What has occurred up till 2006 when for policy reasons, the legislature decided to put what the practice has been, according to opposing counsel, codify it.
No, what happened in 2006 was, as they said in their brief, the General Assembly saw what was happening in these cases, and the General Assembly eliminated a right that's existed in Ohio at common law for 200 years.
Wait a second. You're saying that the General Assembly decided that they were going to cut off a right intentionally and with purpose.
Absolutely.
And the flip side of that could be that the General Assembly decided to codify what common law practice has been for 212 years.
That could not be if 14 and 08 are part of the code, and they are part of the code, and they give the right
don't
to the next.
Don't you think prior to 14, immediate family members had the right through common law for the disposal
absolutely.
Of a body?
Yes, they absolutely did.
Okay.
That whole body. And when the court.
Well, did they enact that because, strangers were coming up claiming rights to the bodies?
No, it was because they have the right to the disposition of the entire body and all of its pieces, and that right subordinates to the coroner, who only has jurisdiction over the body, and the word is until. When you read the statute, it says until. May possess the body until they are completed with the autopsy. That's the general assent. You're not making new law. They want you to change the law that's already been written, and they want you to remove the word until, remove the word body or remains. They want you to change what's been practiced in Ohio. And as the chief said, and I'll close, when they're done doing their job, at that point the question is, what happens to that brain? And what happens is, and I'll quote you, all parts not being kept for forensic purposes or not used or lost in the medical autopsy process shall be returned to the next of kin.
Okay.
That's the rule.
So that we're clear, after they enacted the statute in 2006,
yes.
Your view is while the investigation continues, the coroner has a superior right to any body parts and specimens that have been removed.
Yes.
And specimens would generally be just slabs or slices, with the exception of probably the brain.
Or certain
other organs, which they may have the entire organ. When the investigation is over,
yes,
your argument is under the statute, they're required to return that to the folks mentioned in the statute, the family.
No, as you said, the General Assembly at that point cut off the right that had existed for 200 years and it said, no longer, from now on we're going to call it medical waste. But prior to that time, it had not been medical waste.
So your position is, with respect to those organs that have been harvested.
Yes, sir.
And taken out after 2006 under the statute, they don't have to return those.
They do not, because the statute says they don't. Again, we don't concede the constitutionality of the statute, because we don't feel that the government has a rational basis for keeping a brain when it says we admit we don't need it anymore. That's integral to the next of kin's right to inter in what's called an organ casket the entirety of their son or their daughter. But that's not before the court.
Is the family, under the question that is before the court, entitled to notice as to what's being returned to them?
The family is entitled to, from this court, with due respect, according to Judge Delotte, the family is entitled to know whether Ohio recognizes that the next of kin have any protected interest in the body, and that's the question here, the body in its entirety. And if so, what she didn't mention, which you raised, which you need to talk about, is there another interest that at points in time becomes superior or subordinates the next of kin's interest? And we say it absolutely subordinates so long as the autopsy process is continuing. And then the General Assembly said, until, and then it stops. And then the next of kin's rights, which are statutory and have not been repealed, continue on, and they have the right to dispose of what is left over.
The certified question is not the body. It's the tissues, organ, blood, et cetera, retained by the coroner. So it's a much more limited question than the body.
I agree. And to answer that, you have to decide, where did the rights to tissue or organs come from? And our point is they came from the General Assembly's pronouncement. And as he said, read it in peri materia. If you read the word body in the coroner's code only to mean the torso, then the family could retain parts of the organs and not turn them over to the coroner. The coroner says, wait a minute, I need that for the autopsy. And they say, no, that's not part of the body. The body is everything, every single thing that's there.
Well, the statute defines body.
I'm sorry?
The statute defines body as all the parts. Right?
We agree.
So we don't
absolutely
look to the
agree.
Coroner's code.
It's everything, including the parts.
Thank you, Mr. Perotti. Mr. Landis, you've used your time. You may start with 30 seconds.
Thanks, Your Honor. The one section that he mentioned that defines body and parts together is in the vital statistics chapter on how to count whether there's been a death or not. The more particular statutes in the coroner's section and in the Ohio Administrative Code do accept out forensic specimens, as has been the practice for many, many years. Justice O'Donnell, if you would, let me make one point to you. There's no way to decide this case and have a middle road. Your decision is binary.
I don't know what you mean by a middle road.
A middle road. Let's just have a notice. Let's have a rule that requires a notice, for instance. Because the question to you is whether or not state law establishes a right that can be enforced by the due process clause of the federal constitution. Once you say yes or no to that, if you say yes to that And it has to be either liberty or property, because that's what due process vindicates. Once you say yes to that, what process is due is a federal decision. And so it's up to the federal courts to determine whether notice is enough, or whether notice in a hearing is required, and whether or not the coroner has to undergo a hearing as to whether or not he really ought to be done with that. And why did you take it in the first place? That's up to the federal courts. That genie is out of the bottle after today. So it's a binary question.
Mr. Landis, are there any other states that have ruled that there is a protected interest in tissues for forensic examination?
No, Your Honor. And in fact, there's a District Court of Kansas case interpreting Mississippi law that is directly the opposite and says that there is no protected interest in forensic specimens. Most of the cases out there are consent cases, consent to autopsy. We don't have that statute. There are some cases on misuse of the body. That's a tort claim that's not going on here that will live beyond this case and
should. Or anatomical gifts.
The very few cases that are directly looked at the question go the way of the defendants, not the plaintiffs.
Thank you, Mr. Landis. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.